All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on! This is a renterswarehouse.com roadshow, live from Twin Peaks on I-10 and Kirkwood. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? And welcome into Twin Peaks, I-10 between Kirkwood and the Beltway. We are the Usual Suspects. This is ESPN 97.5, and we are coming to you live. It's Barry to my right. It's Nick back at the station. It's Andreas here, barely keeping us on the air as we continue to roll through the Twin Peaks tour, Barry.
Yeah, I'm here.
Me too.
Rolling along.
What's wrong, Barry? What's wrong, Barry?
Bro, First of all, I was supposed to get up at like 7 o'clock and work out and do all these magnificent things, work on my taxes.
That's a big thing.
Get my draft sheet done for fantasy baseball. I got up at like 9:45 and my neck hurt and I'm in such a bad mood. And then I get here and we, along with the technical difficulties, which is really nobody's fault, but then I get handed these raggedy-ass headphones where there's no, like, the earpiece, the stuff is just coming off. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm just, like, in a bad mood now. I'm not feeling this. I'm cranky. I feel like an old man.
Well, have
a drink. 43, I feel like I'm 63. And then, on top of this, let me tell you, as a comic, I'm used to going to a restaurant and doing an open mic where no one is there to hear the show.
Yeah.
Not so used to that in radio. Like, there's no one here could give a damn that this is going on. They got the music blaring. This is literally like an open mic for radio right now. This is sweet.
Who is contestant number one? We'll just start bringing them up.
You go
one
first.
At a time.
You do your set.
No,
you do a set, Joel.
I think this gentleman here in the burnt orange t-shirt with a nice tall glass of wine at 1 o'clock is going to start us off.
I want to hear you do a set. This will be great.
I got no shot.
No?
Nick, are you good? Everything's good?
Everything's good on my end. I can't complain.
Why are you sounding all chirpy, Nick?
You are.
I don't care about
your headphones are fine. It's intact.
Made me sick.
Did Barry Warner tickle your fancy this morning?
Oh, man. He's special, man. He is special. But I love him.
Absolutely.
What can
special
you do?
Special like how? Like Ed or special like on sale?
Like he wanted me to have a baseball take that he wrote down for me. So he wrote
Wait a
down
minute, what?
He wrote down the entire baseball take about McHugh, the pitcher, the 29-year-old pitcher. I'm sure you guys are going to talk about it on the
Colin,
show today.
Yeah.
No, we had no plans to talk about Colin McHugh. Why would we?
He wrote down yesterday. Like a half-page take on Colin McHugh, and I had to read it over the air.
Oh my God! He made you?
Yeah.
You did this?
Seriously? I tried to say it nicely. And but look, man, I'm not the guy for this. But I didn't want to tell him no. So after he insisted, I'm like,
Why?
You got it, bud.
Nick,
you have a
dude,
voice. This isn't a communist country.
You've got to stand up for yourself.
And now
you've
he's
gotta,
listening to this show,
your,
and I'll fine, be removed by the on off the program by tomorrow.
You've got to put your foot down and say, look, Barry Warner, I don't need your old-ass recycled takes. I have my own opinions, and I can read them if I so choose. But I don't, because I don't have an opinion on Colin McHugh, because right now no one cares about Colin McHugh.
Yeah. You know I'm going to say that.
When but you guys fired up for your fantasy baseball draft, so you know not to draft Colin McHugh right now.
By the way, I did get your email. You sent me an email, right, Barry? On the
I did. I invited you to the league, the one that Joel doesn't want to be
doesn't want to participate in, yeah.
Because he's a crybaby, and he won't play fantasy baseball.
We just heard what you opened the show with, and who's a crybaby?
Oh, I'm totally crying.
Oh, okay.
I'm a big-time crybaby. But, in fact, we need to fill that out. So I'm going to be hammering that all day. We've got like 4 of the 10 slots filled. So if you want to join in, it's a mix of Usual Suspects and Houston Game Day. I guess we're cross promoting because, it's surprisingly hard to fill out a 10 person league in fantasy baseball. Not as many fantasy baseball fans as you would think.
Yeah.
Josh Rapp has to get in there.
He said he can't make the draft on Friday, and I don't blame him for not wanting to be in a league where he can't draft his team.
Can you do it online?
I would. It is online. It's Friday at 7:30 because I didn't want to do it Saturday because Saturday there's games. Sunday the season starts, and so you'd kind of miss that. Now, I guess I could do it Sunday night leading up to Monday, but I don't know. We may have to change it. But right now it's Friday at 7:30, and if you do want to get in, you can just hit me up on Twitter, at Barry is Funny, and tell me. It's $20. To get in, winner gets 140. I think second place gets $40, and third place gets their money back at $20. So it'll be cool. It's rotisserie style. It's pretty. It's pretty laid back. It'll be fun.
Good luck, Nick.
Yeah, it's gonna be good, man.
I think I'm getting producer Joe George. I think he wants to participate. So if you
Joe's a baseball guy, he should do it.
If you have room for one more,
fill that out. Yeah, oh dude, we got plenty of room. Like no one wants to play fantasy baseball. I'm super shocked.
Well, if anybody wants to participate in the show, maybe you can just call in and text 713-780-ESPN, where you can hit us up. Barry's checking the text messages. Nick takes the calls, and we're all on Twitter. At Barry is Funny, as you just mentioned, at the producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We'll take your takes and talk about them on the air, including ours as well, and some other things that we have on the agenda. So please feel free to join us as we are here from 1 to 4 p.m. at Twin Peaks, I-10 between Kirkwood and the Beltway. You can also stop in and see us here. We'd love to say hello. Andreas is taking selfies.
No, we wouldn't. I don't want to say hello to anybody.
Your boy Baby Drew is out front today, so we'll see if he's going to have a chance to get in, get some air conditioning, and take his third shot at a Twin Peaks location for failure.
Yeah.
After the lessons we taught yesterday.
Yeah.
And we'll go from there. So please feel free to join us. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Twin Peaks on I-10 and Kirkwood. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Joel and Barry from Twin Peaks, I-10, Kirkwood, between Kirkwood and the Beltway. Andreas is here, Nick back at the studio. We're just getting started, so if you want to join us, please do. 713-780-ESPN, text us, call us, or hit us up on Twitter. A lot of big stir coming out in Texans news. Barry, I don't know if you saw this or not. I was going to run this by you. But after the owners' meetings for the NFL, really kind of caught me off guard that they interviewed Bob McNair because, of course, they already interviewed Bill O'Brien, and he was in a pretty good mood. And he said, you know, I don't know anything about Romo yet, but we're just moving forward in typical Bill O'Brien fashion. But then they catch up with Bob McNair, and they ask him about the Osweiler trade, and his quote was, "It was a shocker to me. I couldn't believe Rick was able to pull it off. It's unbelievable. Everyone around the league, jaws are still hanging open. Something no one thought about, and I think other people have looked at it, and they've been trying to do the same thing without success. I think it's overall it gives Brock an opportunity. I've talked to the people at Cleveland. I told them a new environment for him and maybe a new perspective, and he could be productive. But in terms of the Texans, he said, we didn't know Brock well enough. Coach O'Brien didn't have a chance to get to know him, and that's one of the problems with free agency. And in the draft, we're able to bring them to Houston, sit down with them, watch them, interviewed by a bunch of coaches, and you have time to check them out. Can't talk to them before they come a free agent. You can't work them out. We didn't know them that well. You could still bring them in. He proceeded to say things about how because Rick was able to trade him and get him out after 1 year, that Rick is basically almost hero-esque, but that Bill O'Brien, who has 2 years left on his contract, after this year, he has to want to be here in McNair's mind, and then they'll sit down and talk about it. And I'm going, why is everybody on the hot seat with the exception of Rick, and Rick gets a pass?
Because Bob McNair. That's why.
That's pretty much it, too.
I mean, I wish I had a better explanation for you, but it's the running joke in sports talk radio in Houston, Texas, that Rick Smith has nudes of Bob McNair or something. But, it's one of those things. He was enamored with both Kubiak and Rick Smith when he brought them in. They came kind of as a tandem. Kubiak bared the brunt of the blame for the 2-14 season. And all Billy O has done is win. despite what, you know, the cards he's been dealt from Rick Smith, but he continues to be the stepchild to Rick Smith's favorite son. So, you know, who knows? I mean,
I think he's annoyed by the story getting out about how O'Brien confronted Brock and there was some kind of confrontation, physical or not, depending on who you talk to. I think that is something that doesn't sit well with his, you know, whole philosophy.
You think who, Bob McNair is annoyed by it?
Yeah, I think he's annoyed with Bill O'Brien with that. I think there's obviously, if you read between the lines and read all the quotes that have been in the Chronicle and otherwise, it sounds like they're not all on the same page. It sounds like there's issues with opinions and everybody being in agreement.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to happen. So it's interesting to see how it's going to all play out. But before the season even starts, and to your point, I mean, look, Bill O'Brien's done a lot of good to make, you know, something out of nothing for the most part in from the quarterback position and at least win the division a couple times. And then the bigger point that you made the other day that I'm totally on board with is they're the only team in the league that hasn't brought in and signed a free agent.
Not one. Not a
Three
single
of their own,
free agent. They re-signed their own.
Punter, kicker, and backup tight end, and yep. Other than that, have not done a thing.
Nope. They're standing pat, and now it looks like if you need your daily Tony Romo update, now it looks like they're going to wait until the Cowboys release him just before camp, and so you know then they're going to be in the running for that. You know, of course, no interest in Jay Cutler. It looks like I saw something this morning that said no one in the NFL is pursuing Jay Cutler at the moment.
I sent it to you guys.
Which I find interesting. You should at least put the feelers out.
Yeah, you would
at
think.
At least for a one-year deal. Let him prove himself.
I mean, at least you have some experience at the quarterback position, a big arm, you know, a guy that maybe you can do something. He did have success in Denver. Obviously, Chicago wasn't the greatest situation overall, but he didn't have a whole lot of help around him either. So at least you get someone with some NFL experience and still should have something left in the tank. But to think that no team is interested and he's just going to go without an invite to camp or anything else and just walk away from the game, that seems surprising to me.
Yeah, and if they stand pat with Tom Savage as their quarterback going into the season, I mean, that's just a white flag almost. It's, you know, you go from the elation of getting out from under the Brock Osweiler contract to knowing that Tom Savage is your starting quarterback for a team that you still are probably expect to compete. What kind of message are you sending the veterans on the team, too?
Well, and when McNair's making these comments publicly, and the other thing that he said was, hey, we're still going to go out and get a quarterback in the draft, but
okay,
what does that do for next season when everybody has hopes with the defense as good as it is that this team should be able to compete and maybe win a couple games in the playoffs, at least advance, and yet you're not going to draft a quarterback and put him out there day one?
I feel like these because of last year's freakish, you know, production from two rookie quarterbacks, I feel like they think that, oh, that's easy now. We just got to go out and get, you know, get a quarterback, and they'll produce. And that's just not how it works. Like, last year's rookie quarterbacks, you know, in Dak Prescott and Carson Wentz, those are anomalies. Those aren't normalities in NFL football. So, right now, I mean, I don't think there's any better way to say it than the Texans are kind of a mess when it comes to free agency from the standpoint that they're being held hostage by the Cowboys, which smart for what the Cowboys are doing by saying, yeah, no, we're gonna hold on and entertain trade offers. Well, basically what they're doing is just killing the clock. They are literally running the four corners on free agency and making Houston have to do something.
But I think that's the thing. I think Jerry World thought, and his contingent of experts thought, hey, someone's going to press the panic button if we continue to hold on to Romo, and they're eventually going to, you know, put up and give us something, and Tony's going to get his deal, too. There's no way anyone's going to be on the hook for Tony's salary. I just don't see it happening. And I think you need to be very realistic in the fact that John Elway, if he's one thing at all, he's a hell of a good poker player, even though he's aggressive. And he realizes, everybody realizes, they have to let him go. For cap reasons and otherwise, he's not a fit on that team. And no one's going to have, you know, be forced to give something up and pay him all that money when you know that Dallas has to make a move. So it's just hurry up and wait again, and it's more of the same stuff. But the thing that annoys me more is what you said, which is why haven't they done anything in free agency?
There's so many holes in this team that need to be addressed, and they've done none of that. I mean, none of it. It's baffling to me. There's a big plan, apparently, why else would they be standing pat and not doing anything? But then they don't share it with anyone in the media, and then they're going to be, you know, and then Bill wants to get salty, like, well, why are you guys asking me these dumb questions? Because y'all are sitting in your hands not doing anything, and it looks terrible. Like, you should at least maybe put some rumors out there or something, other than the fact that, well, we're just being held hostage by the Cowboys, and until that breaks, we're just going to sit here and look like doofuses.
Yeah, I mean, send the right message to your fan base, to the city, to everybody. Send a message that you're working diligently on some kind of a plan, some kind of an outlook for next year where you have a plan. You're looking at these free agents. You know that with the draft coming up, you can talk to some guys, and then if the draft falls right, you'll go this way, if not that way. It's not happening. It's not happening publicly. It looks like it's a complete cluster when the owner seems shocked that you moved Brock Osweiler and then is just completely gloating over Rick Smith again. Rick Smith is the same guy that made this deal and gave you 34 guaranteed Brock Osweiler. So
yeah,
before you put a feather in his cap,
yeah,
why don't you turn around and say, look, he escaped, but he also cost you a second-round pick. He's not the end-all, be-all at general manager. And to be critical of your head coach with 2 years left and say, we'll sit down and look at it at the end of the year, and he has to want to be here and all these other things, it already sounds like he's got an opinion on a head coach that literally has sewn together with, like MacGyver, with duct tape, bubblegum, and chocolate bars, you know, enough to win the division and compete with what they've had at quarterback.
Yeah, Adam just texted the show, pretty much said the same thing. I don't understand how somebody gets credit for cleaning up their own mess.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, you're basically patting the dude on the back for fixing his own mistake. And, you know, I know that there's rumors about whose idea was Brock Osweiler, and we've beat that horse to death
right,
as well.
Right.
But, you know, at the end of the day, Rick Smith is the general manager, and he gets credit for getting rid of Brock Osweiler, but he also gets the slap on the wrist for going out and getting him. So, I mean, to me, that's a wash. Right now, you're at a zero. It's a zero-sum game for him. It's not – he hasn't done anything spectacular. He fixed a mistake.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically the old adage of if you crap the bed, as long as you change the sheets, you're all right.
Yeah.
You can get an extension, maybe.
I don't know about that.
Well, just lose weight. You get the extension anyway.
What?
You lose weight, you get an extension anyway, don't you?
I don't understand.
If you lose weight, you gain an inch.
Oh. Yes. I have no idea what you're talking about.
A minute. Willie, we'll get to you first and get to your thoughts on some things with the NCAA tournament. If you want to join the show, 713-780-ESPN, where you can text us or call us or hit us up on Twitter. We are the usual suspects, and this is ESPN 97.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
One, two, three.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Twin Peaks on I-10 and Kirkwood. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel and Barry back from Twin Peaks between Kirkwood and the Beltway on I-10 as we continue to roll on with the usual suspects. Nick back at the station as we are here till 4 o'clock. Stop by and see us. Scenic views, and that is a fact, as well as good food and plenty of beverages.
Lots of peaks.
Sure, yeah, that too.
All right, so we encourage you guys to call in and hit us up on the show. Let us know what's on your mind. Willie was first caller up today. Two questions for us. Willie, what's going on?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Willie.
Hey, guys.
What's up, man?
All right, so first question. I'm a Gamecock fan, so didn't see this coming, but do you think that, you know, I haven't really seen Gonzaga play much, but do you think that they possibly got a bad draw based on the matchups and how Carolina's just kind of playing with their hair on fire and, you know, light right now, and, you know, they've been through all these battles. They're kind of, you know, on a roll. And secondly, do you think Kendarius Thornwell has done enough to get drafted in the first round? That's all I got, guys.
All right, appreciate the call, Willie. Thanks, man. No, I don't think Gonzaga got a bad draw. I mean, I don't think a lot of people, you know, expected South Carolina to do what they do, but they weren't even in the same bracket. I mean, South Carolina was in the East, you know, Gonzaga was in the West, would you have rather had Gonzaga over there playing Oregon? I mean, if anything, based on the way that it's unfolded, South Carolina, and I heard AJ talking yesterday, and I kind of agreed with him from the standpoint of they may have been overseeded at 7.
Well, not only
going
that,
into it. So, I mean, if I'm Gonzaga, I'd rather be playing South Carolina than Oregon or Carolina.
But let's also factor in that they had a home game seeding.
Yeah.
They played their opening
two games
in South Carolina. They were playing home games, and they weren't like a nationally ranked team that deserved that kind of respect.
Yeah.
From a Gonzaga standpoint, you win as many games as the Zags did, regardless of the fact that their conference might be a little, you know, weaker. The knock on the tournament seeding was seeds, the actual numbers placed on certain teams. They thought that Rhode Island was a very high seed. They thought that Wisconsin got an 8 instead of a higher seed. They thought that Middle Tennessee, there was a couple teams. And then the other thing that really was that got in the craw of a lot of basketball aficionados was that they didn't seed the second seeds like they did the ones, so that the worst two was in the same region as the best one when they show you how they, you know, calculated everything.
Yeah.
But overall, I mean, if you're South Carolina, you got to be happy as hell. You got two home games to kick it off. You stayed in your region pretty much. You know, and look, and they're the hot team right now.
Well, and the way it's played out in the West, Gonzaga has had to face South Dakota State, Northwestern, the 8 seed, and then West Virginia, the 4 seed, and Xavier, the 11 seed. So, I mean, not exactly a murderer's row.
No, but they can't control upsets either.
Sure. I mean, you know, good point, but I mean, I don't know. I think they were fine. I mean, there were some people that questioned whether Gonzaga was a one seed to begin with.
Yeah.
So, I don't think that it was lopsided. As far as Thornwell goes, I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not an NBA draft expert, and I haven't even done my research yet. Watching the kid play, I think he's balling out of control. Does that make him a first-round draft pick? I don't know. I'd have to wait and continue to do my research. At this point, I mean, he looks like he could play in the NBA.
Yeah.
Whether he's a first-rounder or top of the second, I don't know.
From my opinion, look, he may have played his way into being picked. This draft coming up is so deep and so loaded with talent that he's a guy that's played 4 years, so he's got experience, but he's also a little older, which general managers look at and remarkably will frown at a little bit. But the big thing is that he might have played himself into a second-round pick after not being scheduled to be drafted in one of the first two rounds this year. But this is one of the deepest drafts the league has seen in some time, with a lot of young guys coming into this league. So I would say, at best, he's probably a second-round pick.
Would you rather have him, or would you rather have Felder, if you were picking one from that team?
Yeah, I think him.
Okay.
I think because he's experienced, he's shown he has leadership. When they've gone to him in these big-time situations on center stage, he's performed well.
Yep.
And I know you like your guy. I think, you know, you give your guy a little bit of seasoning. Boy, he's got all the toughness in the world. I thought that was neat, too. He's from Brooklyn, I believe. So playing in the Garden for those two games was pretty cool for him as well. But we'll see how he continues to develop. But overall, yeah, I think Thornwell's got a lot of talent potential. I think, to Barry's point, he'll probably end up on an NBA roster. He might be playing in the D-League. But I think he deserves to get a shot. And I think teams will pay more attention to him because of the attention he got in the tournament.
Cool.
All right. Nick, is it ATF holding?
ATF is gone, but we got three other callers.
Nicholas.
Yeah, ATF is gone.
Right.
Can you hear me?
Why don't you give us the next one on your list?
We've got Todd.
Yep, go ahead. All right, Todd.
Hey, guys, how y'all doing? So, a second ago, y'all were talking about Tony Romo to the Texans and how Terry's going to have to cut him. It's Jerry Jones you're talking about. He doesn't always make the most rational decisions. And by people waiting him out and not offering a trade for Romo, it wouldn't surprise me if he held on to him at least a little bit longer. Once you get past June 1st, it doesn't matter if it's June 1st or the first day of the season. It's going to save you the same amount, cost you the same amount. So it wouldn't surprise me if you held on to him waiting for like a training camp disaster or a Bridgewater-Bradford-type situation. Because, I mean, you're already going to owe him money anyways. It's not horrible to have that great of a backup. He's not going to play for a starting job. You can dismiss all of that. It'd be a distraction. It's the best move to get rid of him. But
you're kind of making Jerry look silly by holding on to him and nobody offering anything. And Jerry might just hold on to him until somebody has to offer him some, or until Romo decides to retire, one of those two. But I just see the way it's playing out.
You do
might
realize
be forcing Jerry's hand.
I mean, you realize if he holds on to him, he's got to pay him $19 million. It doesn't make sense with all the money that they got to dish out to players that they got to take care of.
We're good. We are, with the restructure, we just signed Witten to another 4 years. That's completely team-friendly, no guaranteed money. We're $10 million under right now. You set aside $2.5 for the rookie contract, and we're still good to go, man. But a fifth-round pick would sure be nice because we don't have one. That's all it would take. That's all it would take to get Romo right now. Get him in your system, get him going, ready, learning your playbook, a fifth-round pick. But if you want to be stubborn and play chicken with Jerry, Jerry's not always the smartest decision maker when his ego is on the line. And that's all I'm saying.
All right, Todd, thanks for the call, man. Yeah, there's nothing like giving up a fifth round when you had to give up a second just to get rid of your trash from last year. So that works out well.
Yeah. I'm kind of confused. I feel like he talked in a complete circle on that. Like he kind of hit every point for and against what Jerry Jones is doing with Romo, and I'm not sure I understood his stance on the whole thing. So I think we'll just go to the next caller because I have no idea how to respond.
I was going to say, I'm not sure about why he asked it and then answered it because he doesn't really need us.
All right,
Nick, who's next?
We got Wes. Wes, you're on the usual suspects. Welcome to the program.
How's it going? Hey, guys,
how's
it going?
What's up, Wes?
So,
oh, man, couldn't be better.
Living
the dream.
Rick Smith, Bob McNair. I don't know if anyone's ever have kind of looked into it like this, but have you ever thought about the profit percentage of the Houston Texan organization correlated with the quality of players that are on the field playing? And that's why maybe Bob or Rick Smith gets the pass.
Say again?
Say that one more time.
Has anyone ever looked or correlated the profit percentage of the Houston Texan organization with the high-quality players that are on the field, and that being why Bob or Rick Smith gets the pass?
The profit percentage?
Yeah, how are you calculating that? I mean, you want to calculate
money.
How many draft picks he's
able to put more
in
money in Bob McNair's pocket. That's why he's getting the pass. So
they're
essentially, Bob McNair.
No what, dude?
Yeah.
Dude, it's the NFL. They're going to make the money no matter what. There's a salary cap. So, I mean, they can't go over a certain amount. So if he's, you know, $10 million under the cap or $100 under the cap, they're still going to make plenty of money. I'm not sure.
Aside from superstar players, show me the correlation where players are actually making.
Well, I mean, there's certain ways, I guess, locally that you get affected outside of the TV deals, right? So you get ticket money, you get concessions, you get parking, you get stuff like that. But Rick Smith and what he's doing isn't going to affect that one way or the other. These games are selling out no matter what.
Yeah.
Now,
is
everyone going to show up if it's a crap, you know, team? Not necessarily. But, you know, Rick Smith was here for 2-14.
Yeah.
So if we're looking at profit percentages from that year.
How are you – I don't understand how you're correlating that and dedicating it to a certain player or players brought in that are responsible for the money. You know, he's just putting a team on the field. And look, we've chronicled this over and over. His mid-round draft picks, his thirds, fourths, fifths, guys that are supposed to make the roster, be backups, special teams guys and compete, over the course of history, not good, not making the roster – getting into trouble. So, you know, we could go back and forth on this again and again. But, I mean, just because he got rid of Brock, I don't think he deserves a pass. I think that's the end-all, be-all on that one. All right, so we got more calls waiting. We've got more to talk about as well. We want you a part of the show. Please feel free to join us. 713-780-ESPN. That's 780-3776 if you want to text us or call us or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4. The usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Twin Peaks on I-10 and Kirkwood. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Dolanberry, a little side Andreas, I-10 between Kirkwood and the Beltway. It's the Twin Peaks location, scenic views, great food, lots of beverages, so feel free to stop in and join us. It's standing room only, but we'll get you in quickly to a table. Nick is back at headquarters. And you know what, Barry, to your point before the break, I was reading some information and going back on the conversation we had yesterday about the Dolphins owner going up, you know, not going with the vote for the Raiders move, but then looking at overall the three moves that have been approved by owners in the past, what, 6 months? The Rams, the Chargers, and the Raiders, okay?
Yep.
Combined, because of those three moves, each NFL owner will profit $51 to $53 million just in relocation fees.
Yep.
Each owner.
Yep.
So if it ain't about money in your mind before, it should be about money in your mind now.
Bro, it's always about money with the NFL. But
there's the misconception by a lot of fans that, oh, it's all about winning.
No.
And Travis and Keenan were the first to tell you during football season, look, yeah, winning's nice, but each one of these owners owns this team and loves it, and I'm sure they love sports and football, but it's because it is a cash cow for them. They're rolling in it. Even if you mismanage the hell out of it, the Cleveland Browns are making a profit.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
So that's something to take into consideration when you're starting to talk about, you know, money and what owners are thinking and what they're, and if they're basing things on what their thought philosophy is, why they make certain moves that they make. All right, Ron's on hold. He wants to get in here. Ron, what's up?
Hello?
Yeah, Ron, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, I want to talk about Tony Romo for a second. I thought the last caller,
all right, go ahead.
Earlier caller, was going to steal my thunder, but he kind of went in a circle there on it. The Cowboys aren't going to do anything with Tony Romo until after June 1st. If they do anything, trade him or release him before June 1st, it's $20 million cap hit this year. If they wait till June 2nd, it's $10 million this year. Gives them a $10 million shot in the arm to sign draft picks and a late free agent or two. And then next year, the cap will go up and it'll gobble up that other $10 million. So it'll be a wash. The shrewd businessmen as Jerry Jones and Stephen are, Tony Romo is not going anywhere until they release him June 2nd, post-June 1.
You do realize if they trade him, they're on the hook for none of that, right?
I'm sorry?
I mean, if they trade him, they're on the hook for none of that. If they cut him post June 1, they still have $10 million in dead money if they cut him.
Yeah, but I just don't see somebody paying $24 million. And I didn't realize that
it's not 24. You're right. It is 24. My bad. But they're going to renegotiate the contract. That's right. The point. If they're gonna trade for Tony Romo, they're gonna renegotiate his contract as well.
And you're absolutely right. They're not gonna do anything until the new NFL calendar year starts. That's been basically talked about by a lot of different people for a lot of the reasons that you mentioned. But overall, in order to have a trade made anyway, they have to have a trade partner. And everybody has basically said they're not interested in trading.
Well, and to his point, no one wants to pay $24 million for Tony Romo.
Yeah.
But Jerry Jones playing this game of chicken is gonna pay at least $10 million in dead money to wait till June 1st. Yeah, and yeah, he'd be paying 19.5 or 19.6 in dead money if he cuts him before. But the thing is, a lot of people don't realize is you can designate them as a post June 1 and cut them now. He's just choosing not to do that because he can hold these teams hostage.
Yeah.
So they could cut him and say he's a post June 1 cut. We want him off the books now, and still see the benefit from it. But he's going to wait until June 1 or until camp.
Well, he's playing poker,
and it's certainly within his right to do that. But yeah, I think he's just kind of he's playing. You know, I don't necessarily think he's playing chicken because he still has the option to cut him, which I think he'll do. Because I honestly don't think anyone wants that contract. I mean, the Texans and the Broncos would both be insane if they wanted that contract.
Well, not only do they not want the contract, they don't want to give anything else up because it's a high risk for the reward that could possibly be there for anybody because of his injury history, too, and his age.
Yep.
All right, Ron, thanks for the call. Sounded like Ron might have been in the same stall that's behind us.
I did. I was curious if he was on the toilet. But you know what? After today, I kind of see why no one takes calls or why the Blitz doesn't take calls on the road. With as many technical problems as we're already having trying to get calls on as well.
Yeah.
It's a bleep show.
Yeah, I was going to say, kind of like our bathroom at work, you would think the guy's telling you he was in the car wash, but it sounded like he was definitely somewhere else, maybe in stall number one. Yeah. All right, so we continue to roll on. Our promo crew is hard at work out front. Our boy, baby Dwight, Drew is here again. He got the fresh cut. They're completely matching out front. But Drew, I'm sure, is abstaining from any contact with the ladies again today.
I just want to put it out there. We have two slots left for the Fantasy Football League. So there are two left. I'm sending out an Fantasy invite baseball. Right now to Richard, which will bring the available slots to one now. Okay. Well, there you go. 6 cents. There's already three teams. That's nine. We have one left. Tweet at Barry is funny. If you want to get in, you can DM me your email address, or you can just text the show, 713-780-3776. Text me your email, and I'll send you an invite, and you'll be in the league. And then we're going to cut it there. It's 20 bucks to enter.
Fantasy baseball, you mean?
Yeah, fantasy baseball. What did I say, football?
Yeah, and then I asked you a question about Drew, and you blew me off for the fantasy baseball.
Any
conversation with him today? Is he just done now that he's up front?
Oh, yeah, I think they're hiding. Yeah. You know, we're not next to him, so I think they don't want to come back here. Yeah.
He got his fresh haircut and everything, but yet he's abstaining from conversating with any of the lovely females here at Twin Peaks for his third round of...
You know, I don't blame him.
Who wants to date a Drew.
Yeah. Hey, Nick, at some point today...
Absolutely.
Yeah, cool deal. We'll do that. Maybe we'll do that in the somewhere in the 2 o'clock hour. I'll give away a couple of weekend passes. That'll be fun. Everyone's asking when I'm performing. It's Saturday around 2:30-ish, and I say everyone, one person.
I mean, that's like standing room only here at Twin Peaks.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. All right. What else we got?
Any other text messages?
We got Keyshawn, if you guys want to go through the
phone line. I think a lot of people are
kind
of a... Let's do it one more, yeah.
Sure. Let's go to the phones. Keyshawn, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Keyshawn, what's up?
Hey, how y'all doing, man? I had a quick question. I was wondering, what do y'all think about the Texans lose, the people that they lost over the offseason? I want to know how big of a hit do you think that'll be to our defense, and how much better does it make the Jaguars? And what will we have to do to maybe fill them holes, possibly? And I'll go ahead and hang up.
Appreciate the call.
Yeah, I talked to some people in Jacksonville,
mm-hmm.
who will remain nameless.
Sure.
But, you know, they were excited about the fact that, you know, you add Bouye to a young defense. But I think this kind of goes back to what we were talking about before. It depends on how they fill those holes. You know, it depends on when they do something. But they haven't done anything. I mean, a lot of guys have walked out the door, but no one's walking back in yet. And I don't know if that's the plan where you – see what you can get in the draft first, and then you react accordingly, and hopefully you get some deals, because free agents that haven't gotten their deals after the draft is done start panicking a little bit. I know other teams think that way, but, I mean, to me, let's start seeing them make some moves, because they're obviously holes to fill. They haven't done anything.
Yep. I mean, I know we've already talked about this earlier in the show. I think Jacksonville, you know, again, they're doing – the right things in free agency, and they've done that the last couple thus far. So, you know, it's a wait and see with the Jags, right? They seem to be making all the right signings, but again, how well those signings produce has yet to be seen, because last year I think they were the sexy pick to make the playoffs. They were the sexy sleeper/Cinderella in the NFL, and look what they did.
Yeah, Bortles was supposed to take that next leap, that big jump, and instead he fell backwards.
Yeah. All right, guys, I want to tell you real quick, if you're looking to sell your house and you need to do it fast, then the folks over at Gulf State Home Buyers are going to tell you, no problem, we'll take care of it, just give us a call. If you're having trouble getting out from under the house quickly because you've got back taxes or delinquent HOA dues, maybe you're going or bankruptcy, foreclosure. Heck, maybe you even lost your job in the oil bust that recently occurred. Give the guys at Gulf State Home Buyers a call and let them buy your house from you. They're going to make you a cash offer and make it super easy for you. Call them 281-717-6100. get the process going. Because from the beginning of the process all the way through closing, they're going to be there. They're going to walk you through it. And all you do is relax and let their team of professionals handle everything. They've got lawyers. They've got title companies. They've got a complete in-house staff that's going to help buy your home from you with a cash offer. Look, we all see the signs on the side of the road that say, hey, I'll buy your home from you. Who do you really want to buy? Who do you really want buying your home from you? Some dude that makes signs in his mom's garage, or a company like Gulf State Home Buyers who has an entire staff that handles the process for you? 281-717-6100. Get a clear understanding of your situation when you call them. But make that call, Gulf State Home Buyers, 281-717-6100, or hit them up on the web, gulfstatehomebuyers.com.
ESPN 97.5.